Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this bright and sunny morning. We're glad to have each of you here with us this morning. We especially want to welcome all of the visitors here with us this morning, and we especially want to welcome our Salkehatchie workers who are scattered out here in the back with us this morning. Please make an effort to speak to them and welcome them to Greenwood. These are Christ's true disciples. They have taken a week out of their busy summer to be here and to help others. They are truly walking the walk this morning, this week. So please keep them in your prayers this week as they go about doing repair work on houses throughout the Greenwood community. We welcome each of you here. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street as a possibility for that home, and if you will give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. That will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Announcements for this week. Have I got a deal for you? Thursday night, our family fun night will be at the bowling alley. $5 per person, and that pays for two games of bowling, shoe rental, pizza or hot dog, and a drink. You can't get a better deal than that, $5. That starts at 6 o'clock. We do need reservations for that, so please contact the church office by noon on Tuesday to make reservations for that. Also, summer movies continue this Tuesday. Meet Kathy at the theater at 12 o'clock. The movie starts at 12:30, pick up at 2:15, and the movie this week is Evan Almighty. The Women's Bible Study will begin this week at 6:30 on Wednesday, July the 9th. They will meet in the Stephen Ministry Room, which is upstairs in the old education building. The study will run through August the 13th, so it's not too late to sign up for that study. You can come by the church office and pick up a book for the study. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. seated. Join me in our invocation as found in your bulletin. Lover of the unlovable, we are captives of the world. Recapture our loyalties, not by defeating our will, but by drawing it to yours. Seize our spirits, not by forcing us into your grasp, but by freeing us from sin. Adore us, love us, desire and seek us. Our ears strain for the sound of you, our eyes for the sight of you, our hearts tremble in anticipation of your presence. Come into our midst, Lord, and make us your captives. Amen. Let us pass the peace.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 45, verses 1 to 10, and is found in 636 of your pew Bibles, if you care to read along. Hear, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people, with all kinds of wealth. The princess is decked in her chamber in gold-woven robes. In many-colored robes, she is led to the king. Behind her, the virgins, her companions follow. With joy and gladness, we are led along that we enter the palace of the king. In the palace of ancestors, you, O king, shall have sons. You will make them princes in the earth. I will cause your name to be celebrated in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will praise you forever and ever. Our epistle reading comes from the New Testament and Paul's letter to the Romans. It's the 7th chapter, 15 to 25, and it's found on page 191 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, should you care to read along. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my presence, in my utmost self, But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, and with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I would invite anyone who would find it meaningful to come forward during our prayer time to kneel so that when we have our time of silent prayer, you will be forward and kneeling. And this is an invitation to anyone, visitor or member alike, who would like to kneel during our time of prayer. And as we pray, I want you to remember our Salkehatchie camp. I want you to remember Dr. Clauber, who was in the hospital this past week, now home. John Redfern was briefly in the hospital, but released and is okay. And I believe on vacation now, so is okay. And we have many others who are grieving and many others who are going through life-changing situations. Let us be in prayer for them and for ourselves and for our world. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, as we work this week through Salkehatchie on physical homes, buildings, dwellings, in your name, send your Spirit upon those who support this ministry and give us the assurance that you are working with us and in us and through us. Reaching out in your name is a holy thing. It is redemptive for those who give time, talents, and treasure, and for those who receive. Give us hearts to know your presence in this worship service and in our outreach efforts. And in this very moment of prayer, call to our minds the things we ought to pray for, the things we know we ought to do and have left to the side somewhere long ago. Remind us of our calling to not only have faith, but to live faith and to show faith out in the public marketplace, out in the neighborhoods we avoid, and even to those people who are not our friends and family, even to those people who think of themselves as our enemies. Lord, we need help for that kind of faith. That isn't what the world teaches. That isn't what our reflexes tell us to do. But if you say so, if you walk along beside us, we will love as you have loved us. We will forgive as you have forgiven us, and we will show mercy for your sake and as a response to the mercy you have shown us. We wish that worship were enough, but we know that you have called us to live differently. To live seeking holiness and righteousness and reflecting compassion to others as the gospel hope. Build walls of grace between us and our past bitterness. Build walls of grace between us and selfishness. And build walls of grace between us and the guilt which drags us down. And Lord, build windows of hope in us that others may transparently see your Spirit within us. And build windows of hope in us that others may know of your love through our actions and attitude. And build doors between us and others we avoid, that our ministry may enlarge and our vision may increase. Lord, we do pray for your creation and what we have made of it. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those who are struggling with difficult decisions, for those who have doubts, for those who are awaiting test results, for those who are grieving, for those who are moving, for those who are no longer able to do what they once did. Lord, hear now the silent prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes and our offerings, our special gifts. And I will remind you, we have this Sunday and next Sunday in order to complete collections for our principal payment on the loan. The once-a-year principal balloon payment is now paid down to $65,000. It began at $375,000. I congratulate you on our work successful thus far. And we have this Sunday and next Sunday to complete that. Be mindful of that as we pass our offering plates.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated. We would like to invite the children to the Lord's message.
lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew on page 13 in your pew Bibles, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 16. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his deeds of power had been done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For it is if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before the sermon, I have just a few announcements to make. One is that we desperately need some skilled adult help on a particular site. I want you to please remember that. And if you have a day to give, if you have some skills to give, such as carpentry or painting or a little bit of plumbing, we could use you. Show up at breakfast at 6:15. We'll find the site for you to get on. We do need some help. Not everyone who signed up for this year's camp came. The other thing is, traditionally, Sunday afternoon is ladder day. It's the day when we need to collect ladders. You can just kind of saunter on over here. It's not violating work on Sunday. Saunter. And bring your ladders. Write your name on the ladder so we know who to give it back to or who to buy a new ladder for if we break it. We hope not. But we do need some ladders. We do not have enough to get up to the areas we need to work on. So this is ladder day, and I've thought of a way for you to remember that when you get home. This will be your one opportunity, if you bring one, to be a ladder day saint. Yes. Okay. You'll remember that, and I hope we'll get more ladders. Maybe I should pray now. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We did do our God and Country service last week, but it is just a couple of days after July 4th, and a few things about Jesus saying that we have an easier time of it if we are yoked to Him, that we are truly free when yoked to Him, and that paradox. I'm going to have to talk about freedom and dependence and independence just a little. And I started thinking, before America's fight with England and our war with England for independence, there was another. Historically, many of you know about it. Even if you didn't study it, you saw the movie. It was in 1280, and it was memorialized in the movie Braveheart. Some of you see that movie? Well, some of you did. My wife has seen it many, many, many times as one of Scottish ancestry. And William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson, he screams in defiance at toward the end of the movie. I mean, they have him down on the chopping block. They're about to chop off his head. And rather than cry for mercy, he screams out, "Freedom!" right before they chop his head off. What fierceness. And I need to remind you that I'm married to a descendant of those defiant Scottish warriors with a little Viking blood thrown in. Pray for me. But especially on this July 4th weekend, we resonate that defiant cry of William Wallace, freedom. And you've seen bumper stickers, some of you have seen them, and even license plates, "Live free or die." Did you know that that is the official state motto of New Hampshire? Live free or die. And it's also representative of American philosophy. And we tend to think of submission and dependence and yoked service as unthinkable. But in the spiritual world, in the Christian worldview, we find servanthood and dependence upon God and yoked service, even being owned by God. In Scripture, that is taught over and over and over again. Now, it sort of shocks our sensibilities, but the Apostle Paul calls himself and Timothy bond servants in most translations of Jesus Christ. And that sounds kind of noble, bond servants, but literally the word means slave. We're also used to referring to Jesus as Jesus Christ, as if Christ is sort of his last name, but we need to remember that Christ is a title. It means Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the promised King. And as followers, we are his subjects. He is our Lord and Master, and we recognize that we are completely dependent upon him. We are not free. And in scriptural language, we are owned, bought, and paid for. But we don't like that language. We tend to think of submission to a Lord as something harsh and demeaning, and that perception keeps some people away from Christianity. They believe that becoming a Christian will mean being burdened by an endless list of rules that will squelch the enjoyment of life. It reminds me of a very old joke where a Catholic priest saw Groucho Marx at a party, and he said, "I want to thank you, Mr. Marx, for bringing so much joy into the world." And Groucho immediately, with his quick wit, said, "And I want to thank you, Father, for taking so much out." People think that about the Christian faith. And that was sort of how Paul lived when he was Saul as a Jewish Pharisee, but it wasn't the way he lived as a Christian. We are not just another set of lists and rules like the Pharisees. That's not true. Jesus spoke with double harshness against the Pharisees and their self-serving rules and their picky little laws they followed while ignoring the big things. You remember Jesus saying about people who strained at gnats and swallowed camels. Jesus had those harsh words for those who pretended to serve God by following little picky laws, many of which they made up, but ignoring the big things. Love God, love neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus came to set people free from that sort of oppressive burden. And our gospel today in Matthew, it tells us that Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I've struggled with this text and with the context, and Jesus seems to be saying that there are all sorts of systems and rules and faiths and philosophies and ways to seek happiness and fulfillment. And every single one of them demands a certain submission. every potential way to find happiness, whether it is faith, our philosophy, our wealth, our thrills, our drugs, our sex, our rock and roll, all of them demand submission to some dress code, our behavior code, our fashion code, our way of living and thinking and spending and entertaining. He seems to be saying that whatever you choose as your pursuit of happiness, it will cost you allegiance, submission, in some form or fashion. You need to accept that. You are not free. You will serve some teaching, some philosophy or fashion with your life, with your time and your talent and your treasure. You are going to be yoked to something or someone or some idea. Jesus is saying, yoke to me is easier than all these other paths. My yoke fits. It is what you were made for. Bound to me, you'll find true happiness and fulfillment in the life God intended for you. Connected to God in love and connected to your neighbor in love and compassion is what you were made for. I can take you there. You are going to serve someone or something. Serving me is easier, more fulfilling. It will feel right, and every day will be new. All the rest of the things get old real fast. And the good thing about serving God in Christ, the good thing about following Jesus as Lord, is His grace. You see, what God starts, God will finish. You don't have to keep up and keep current and buy this or buy that, because the fashion rules don't change here. God's Holy Spirit takes up residence in us when we come to faith and guides us from the first step in the door onward and upward to more compassion, more ability to love and to forgive, and to really care about other people, their lives, their souls. Paul puts it this way. He says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." God keeps working in our lives, and we may never achieve perfection in this life, but we are assured that God will bring it about in us in the day of Jesus Christ. Whenever and however we meet God, God prepares us and completes us before that meeting. God gives us what we need when we submit, when we empty ourselves and truly follow. And the idea of emptying yourself, I've got a wonderful story that I've run across I'd like to share. Once upon a time, there was a woman who set out to discover the meaning of life. First, she read everything she could get her hands on, history and philosophy and psychology and religion, and she became very, very smart. But nothing she read gave her the answers she was looking for. She found other smart people, and she asked them about the meaning of life, and their discussions were long and lively, but no two of them agreed. And finally, she put all her belongings into storage, and she set off in search of the meaning of life. She went to South America. She went to India. Everywhere she went, she asked people the meaning of life. And they didn't know. But they all said, "We've heard of a man who does know." And she finally found this man. He was deep in the Himalayas, and someone told her how to reach his exact house, her tiny little hut, high on the side of a mountain. And so she climbed and she climbed until she met until she got to his front door. And when she finally got there, with her knuckles so cold she could barely knock, she knocked on the door. He answered and said, "Yes." A kindly looking old man opened it and said, "Yes." And she thought she would die of happiness. "I've come halfway around the world to ask you this question." She gasped for breath. "What is the meaning of life?" He said, "Please come in and have some tea." "No," she said. "I mean, no, thank you. I didn't come all this way for tea. I came for an answer. Will you tell me, what is the meaning of life?" He said, "We shall have tea." He insisted, "We shall have tea." So she gave up and she came inside, and he was brewing the tea, and she caught her breath, and she was telling him about all the books that she had read and all of the people she had met and all of the places she had been. The old man listened quietly. The old man listened quietly. And finally, he handed her a fragile teacup. And then he began to pour the steaming hot tea. And she was so busy talking, she didn't notice that the teacup was full. And the old man just kept on pouring. And it ran over the sides and down the cup and onto her hand and burned her, a steaming waterfall of tea. She said, "What are you doing?" She said, "It's full. Can't you see that? Stop. There's no more room." And he said, "Just so. You come here wanting something from me, but what am I to do? There is no more room in your cup. Come back when it is empty, and then we will talk. Some of us are too full of head knowledge to learn from God's Spirit, and some of us are too full of People magazine and popular music and youth culture and fashion to learn from God's Spirit. There's no more room. And some people are too full of old rage and bitterness or guilt from past wrongs to learn from God's Spirit. There's no more room. Jesus taught over and over that God is not words, God is not rituals, God is not laws, God is not knowledge or fashion. God is a person. And faith is a relationship of complete and total trust. It is a relationship of submission and an emptying of ego and self-will and selfishness so that there will be room to grow and trust to follow. Jesus' yoke is easier than all the rest. God is building something in us, and God has taken me places such as this pulpit that in my own emotional and psychological needs, I never wanted to go. Not even today. It doesn't suit me. But this is where God has led me. And on rare occasions, God has used me. And so I follow, I go, and you can follow and go too, knowing that God goes with you, even if every fiber of your being says no. But with trust and with faith, you go. And here are so many sitting around us, Salkehatchie folks, who are kind of saying the same thing. You know, I'm here. I may not really want to be here. I'm not comfortable with my sight. I don't think we can finish. Relax. Kids and adults, relax. God is with you. And God has called you, and God can use you when you submit and relax and say, okay, God, I can't do this thing on my own, but I believe that you are with me. I believe that you have called me here. God says, don't worry. You are not alone. That is what being yoked to God is all about. Trust and knowing that God is with us. God pulls with us. We're working together, and God does for us and through us things that we alone could never do. The world rocks us and rolls us this way and that, but yoked to God in Christ, we stay firm and stable, like a house that is built upon bedrock, another good scriptural image. And I learned a lot about a good foundation in my first church, because back then I had the hobby of darkroom photography. Now everything's digital. There used to be a thing called film. It involved chemicals, some of which I inhaled quite a bit in that little bathroom darkroom. It may have affected my brain, I don't know. But I want to explain, I learned about foundations in a dark room. I lived on a concrete slab home in Hardyville, not far from the road, and I found that when I printed pictures in my dark room, every time a car went by, the entire house shook just a little. When printing a picture, I needed as much as 60 seconds of absolute still, peace, calm, quiet. But when a car went by, when I was exposing onto the paper, it shook my enlarger ever so slightly and made the photo blurry and out of focus. Not enough so that anybody would really notice, but when you're printing a picture, you notice. The house shook, but it looked like it was grounded firmly, but it really was just floating on top of the dirt, apparently floating on top of that soft soil, and shook just a little bit, even when a car drove by. How about you? Are you firmly yoked and trust and founded in faith in God, or does the traffic of life shake and blur your focus? I've got to say, sometimes it shakes and blurs my focus. Legend has it, and those of you who are the historians will correct me, that the Chipley House, the Chipley Mansion, which we now call the Susanna Wesley Building, legend has it that the foundation on that building is dug deeper than any other building in Greenwood. Dug down to bedrock, I am told, with tons and tons of concrete poured to anchor it, so that when the many railroads that used to come through town go by, the family who was living there at the time, the Chipley family, would not shake, would not shimmy, would not rattle one piece of china. That's what I'm told. Now that's a foundation. Yoked to Christ, we are sturdily grounded to bedrock. The traffic of the world will go this way and that. There will be shaking and quaking and storms and wind and war, but ultimately God will pull us through because we are bound to Him by faith and trust. We serve no other. We focus on no other goal. We are those not shaped or shaken by the passing fancies and fashions of the world. We are those who have grounded ourselves, yoked ourselves to Christ. We have emptied ourselves to make room for the transforming power of God. The God who Scripture says will complete the work He has begun in us. We all have a ways to go, but God will complete it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature, and old things are passing away. Behold, new things have come. Many of you will be working on or supporting the Salkehatchie ministry this week, the homes, five different homes in our community, and all of us are working on a building, the renovation of our souls. God is changing us, making room for the new, growing, tearing out new things. We're working on a building, our soul. Foundation is Jesus Christ. We are yoked to Christ, and we can begin to be freed from irrational groupthink, herd mentality, and do whatever everybody else is doing. And we can start to be actually free to make choices that will lead us into the life God intended for each of us from the beginning. So we're set apart. Yoked to Christ, we are set apart. We are in the world, but not of the world. We have a different standard. We march to a different drummer. God's Spirit wakes us up a little more awake all the time, clears our minds, and we can discern God's guidance. We come to ourselves as the prodigal son came to himself in the far land. And we can see, this thing is not making me happy, or this bitterness that I am nursing each day is not fulfilling my life. Or this envy that I suffer all the time, it's not making me happy. Or this career track, or this push for more and more and more, and this treadmill of ever-increasing speed and manufactured needs, these things are not making me happy. It's not making me happy. And so like the prodigal son, we often, through our journey of faith, find ourselves again in a far, far country, and we yearn for the simple, dependable love of our Father at home, home with God, where we belong. Let me end with a paraphrase to the radio audience. I apologize for ending early again, but I'm finished. I want to end with a paraphrase. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live lightly and be truly free. My yoke, says Jesus, is easier than all the rest. Amen. Amen. Please stand.
Thank you.
remind you before our benediction that the addresses of each of the five homes we are working on this week will be in the office with Emmy. Some of you received them already on the email, but if you'd like to visit, see what we're doing, or just drive by and see what it's all about, we would love to have you be a part of this project, even just to applaud and visit and say good job. We would love to have you see what we're doing. Now receive this benediction. It is a good thing and a blessing to know the full love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the wisdom and the presence between us and within us of God the Holy Spirit, even now. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.